the belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama,
four score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Hello, this is Michael Hart, and you're listening to yet another edition of Unknown America, brought to you by the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. In honor of President's Day 2020, or more accurately, George Washington's birthday, we present peculiar facts about the men that have been president of the United States. The history of America is a tapestry of little-known but fascinating facts and often untold oddities. Often these little-known tidbits involve the very men that have led this nation. And in honor of President's Day, here are some of the more interesting and, in some cases, peculiar facts about the 44 men that have been president of the United States. And yes, we have only had 44 presidents. Even though Donald Trump is number 45, Grover Cleveland was elected two separate times and was both the 22nd and 24th presidents, respectively. So we got a lot to cover today. Going to try to wrap this up in about 40, 45 minutes or so. You can dip in and dip out as you please, as we are going to get a lot into some of the crazier stuff about every single president this country has ever had. Some just weird, others uninspiring, but nonetheless entertaining. George Washington gave the shortest inaugural speech in American history on March 4th, 1793. It was only 133 words long. Of the founding fathers that did become president, Washington was the only one that did not attend college. Washington never lived in the White House. The Capitol was actually located in Philadelphia and other cities when Washington was president. And he is the only president that is not affiliated with a political party. George Washington also found a dog during the Battle of Germantown. He crossed enemy lines to return the wayward canine to its rightful owner, William Howe, his opponent, obviously, in the battle. Next, we have President John Adams. Adams defended British soldiers after the Boston Massacre, where five people were killed. Although Adams objected to what he believed was the unfair taxation by the British government, he also believed in the primacy of rule of law. And after killing the five colonists in March of 1770, Adams volunteered to represent the nine British soldiers charged with manslaughter to assure they received a fair trial. He argued that the soldiers fired in self-defense against a motley rabble and won a surprising acquittal for seven of the nine defendants. Adams was the first president to live in the White House. He actually moved into the White House on November 1 of 1800. Construction was not quite completed, and the house reeked of wet plaster and paint fumes. Adams' last words were, "Thomas Jefferson still survives," not knowing that Jefferson had died earlier the same day in Virginia, July 4th of 1826. Moving on to Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson and Adams, again, both died on the exact same date, July 4th, 1826. Jefferson felt that he would not last the summer of 1826, but hoped to live through the 4th, which was the officially recognized 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Signing actually began probably sometime in late July or August and not on the date that's often been reported. Jefferson wrote his own tombstone epitaph. It states that he was the author of the Declaration of Independence, the statuette of Virginia for religious freedom, and that he was the father of the University of Virginia. But it made no mention that he'd ever been president of the United States. It's well known that Thomas Jefferson liked to party. He was known to throw frequent lavish parties, spending up to $50 a day, which is about $980 in today's currency, This was on Food and Wine, and incidentally, Jefferson died almost flat broke. Next, we have James Madison. Madison was the shortest president at only 5 feet, 4 inches tall, and never weighed more than 100 pounds in his entire life. He once lost an election because he didn't give alcohol to voters. In 1777, a young James Madison lost a bid for election to the state houses of delegates. He would later write that the defeat was the result of his refusal to provide free liquor to the voters on election day, which was a common custom then known as swilling the planters with bumbo. The future president believed that bribing electors with booze was contrary to Republican principles. Moving on next to James Monroe. Monroe died exactly 5 years to the day after Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, July 4th of 1831. The founding of Liberia in the early 1800s was motivated by the domestic politics of slavery and, of course, race in the United States, as well as by foreign policy interests. In 1816, a group of white Americans founded the American Colonization Society to deal with the problem of a growing number of free blacks in the United States. They had the word problem, obviously, in quotation marks. The group's plan was to resettle them in Africa. The resulting state of Liberia would become second after Haiti, Black Republic, in the entire world at the time. The capital of the nation, Monrovia, is named after James Monroe, who was a prominent supporter of the colonization of free blacks and ex-Caribbean slaves because he saw it as preferable to emancipation in America. John Quincy Adams, the very first president to be son of a former president, Adams loved the skinny dip in Washington's D.C.'s Potomac River. He was the only former president to serve in the U.S. House of Representatives. In 1830, Adams was elected to the House as part of the Massachusetts delegation. He would represent three different districts over the course of his congressional career, and he was also the first House member to champion abolition and emancipation. Andrew Jackson was actually involved in over 100 duels, most to defend the honor of his wife, Rachel, and even had a bullet in his chest from an 1806 duel and another bullet in his arm from a barroom fight in 1813. He was also the first president to experience an assassination attempt, and he dodged a bullet by a house painter by the name of Richard Lawrence, who was armed with two guns the day he attempted to kill Jackson. Amazingly, both pistols misfired, an event that weapons experts say had a 1 in 125,000% chance of ever occurring. During the Battle of Horseshoe Bend in Alabama, one of Jackson's soldiers discovered a little Indian boy about 3 years old, wandering around crying in search of his family. The soldier brought the child to General Jackson, asking what he should do with him. The militia was on the march, and there was no one to care for a toddler, so Jackson did not hesitate, saying, "Bring him to Mrs. Jackson." The little boy was named Lincoya by the Jacksons and raised as their own. He was fed and clothed and educated the same as his brother Andrew Jackson Jr. In early of 1828, the year Andrew Jackson was elected president of the United States, Lincoya actually contracted tuberculosis with primitive medical care. The 17-year-old man died only months before his father would become president of the United States. Martin Van Buren. The term OK derives from Martin Van Buren, who was known as Old Kinderhook because he was raised in Kinderhook, New York. OK clubs were actually created to support his campaigns. His given birth name was actually spelled with two A's. That would be M-A-A-T-I-N. Van Buren is the first American president, first American-born president. All previous presidents have been born as British subjects. When Van Buren wrote his autobiography as serving as president, he didn't mention his wife of 12 years and the mother of his five children, Hannah, even one time. William Henry Harrison follows up. Harrison gave the longest inaugural address as 8,443 words on March 4th, 1841, on a cold and blustery day in Washington, D.C. Because of his exposure to the elements, he developed a severe cold and died 1 month later of pneumonia. Harrison holds the dubious honor of being the United States' shortest-serving commander-in-chief. Next, we have John Tyler. Tyler had more children than any other president. He had eight by his first wife, Letitia, who was First Lady of the United States from 1841 until her death in 1842, and seven by his second wife, Julia, who also served as First Lady. He was 70 years old when his last child, Pearl, was born. He also served as the first president to get married while in office. His children from his first marriage did not approve of the second, so none of them attended. Tyler assumed the Oval Office after the death of Harrison, and although some confusion, up to this time, a president had never died in office. Since the transference of presidential power in this situation had not been considered or planned for, Tyler served out his entire term without a vice president. This has only occurred three other times in U.S. history. James K. Polk gets elected in 1845. He was not expecting to be the Democratic nominee for president. Martin Van Buren wanted to be nominated a second term as president, which, if he had won, would have made him only one of two presidents in history to serve nine consecutive terms. But Van Buren's stance against the annexation of Texas was unpopular with the Democrat Party. The delegates voted nine times before compromising on Polk as their pick for president. Zachary Taylor. Taylor was nominated to be president by the Whig Party without his knowledge or presence at the nominating convention. The Whigs sent him notification of the nomination without the postage even being paid. The party expected Taylor to pay him a letter that informed him he was the nominee. He refused payment and did not even find out about the nomination for several weeks later. Taylor died unexpectedly in July of 1850. Doctors believe the cause was cholera. More than 140 years later, after much speculation, Taylor's body was exhumed to establish that he had not been poisoned. The cause was not determined, but experts did rule out intentional poisoning. Millard Fillmore. Fillmore's first elected office was to the New York State Legislature on the anti-Masonic ticket, which, as the name suggests, strongly opposed Freemasonry. Fillmore also did not have a vice president. Again, the Constitution did not originally include a provision for replacing VPs in the event they ascended to the Oval Office prematurely. Fillmore is credited with having the very flush toilets in the White House in 1853, bringing to an end the era of the mad dash to the outhouse. Franklin Pierce follows up, and he was a known alcoholic. In fact, he was criticized during the campaign and his presidency for his drinking. During the election of 1852, some mocked Pierce as the, quote, hero of many a well-fought bottle. James Buchanan was the only U.S. president that remained a bachelor his entire life. As president, he was virtually inseparable from William R. King, a senator from the state of Alabama. Keeping near constant company with each other, the pair were nicknamed Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy by Andrew Jackson. Aaron Brown referred to King as Buchanan's wife and better half, suggesting that their relationship was not as closeted as one might think. Obviously, this situation raised many questions, the first being about Buchanan's sexual preferences. For instance, Buchanan never married. Again, was a lifelong bachelor, sharing many of his evenings with Senator King. In addition to these facts, and according to historian James Llewellyn, Buchanan instructed relatives to burn his private letters after his death. Some surviving correspondence, however, indicates a romantic bond between Buchanan and King, according to Llewellyn. After being appointed Minister of France by John Tyler, King wrote to Buchanan, quote, "I am selfish enough to hope you will not be able to procure an associate who will cause you to feel no regret at our separation." In that same year, in a letter to Buchanan, a friend wrote of King's absence, saying, "I am now solitary and alone, having no companion in the house with me. I have gone a-wooing several gentlemen, but have not succeeded with any of them." Has America had its first gay president? It seems so. In addition to that, we have Abraham Lincoln rounding it up here. He's the only president who was also a licensed bartender. He was co-owner of a bar called Barry and Lincoln Saloon in Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln logs are actually named after Lincoln and the log cabin he was born in. John Lloyd Wright, the son of famous architect Frank Lloyd Wright, invented the popular toy building set. Lincoln was also the first president to be photographed at his inauguration. In the picture, he's standing near his future assassin, John Wilkes Booth. He's also enshrined in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Young Abe was an accomplished wrestler. He lost only one time in approximately 300 matches, and Lincoln could talk smack with the best of them. According to Carl Sandburg's biography of Lincoln, he once challenged an entire crowd of onlookers after a victory, saying, "I'm the big buck of this lick. If any of you want to try it, come on and wet your horns." Next, we have Andrew Johnson. Johnson, Lincoln's vice president, took office after Abe's assassination, was the first president to be impeached, although not convicted. He was acquitted by a single vote in the Senate, and it would be another 130 years before another president, Bill Clinton, would be impeached. And, of course, we have the recent impeachment of Donald Trump. At 22 years of age, he was elected the mayor of Greenville, Tennessee. He served as mayor for just 4 years and was elected to the Tennessee House of Representatives in 1835 and later became a Tennessee state senator before being elected to Congress in 1843. Ulysses S. Grant from 1869 to 1877, his real first name was Hiram. Hiram Ulysses Grant changed it because he didn't want to enter West Point with the initials HUG. When Congressman Thomas Hammer filed the application to West Point for Grant, he thought that Grant's middle name was Ulysses and assumed the middle name would also be Simpson. Grant's mother's maiden name was actually Simpson, hence the Ulysses S. It was so cold at his second inaugural in 1873, the canaries that were supposed to sing at the inaugural ball all froze to death. Next, we have Rutherford B. Hayes. Hayes banned alcohol and held gospel sing-alongs every night in the White House. He's also the one that started the tradition of the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn, which had been run on the Monday after Easter since 1878. James Garfield was a brilliant man, able to write in both Latin and Greek, and he could do so with both hands. He was also the first president to campaign in multiple languages. He often spoke German with German-Americans he encountered along the campaign trail. Garfield actually was assassinated by anarchists named Charles Goodyear in 1881. He shot Garfield in the back with a five-barrel, 44-caliber pistol called a British Bulldog. He said he chose this gun because it would look good on display in a museum, one day. However, no one currently knows where the actual gun currently is. After we have Garfield, we have Chester A. Arthur. President Arthur made no inaugural address. At the request of Arthur, the International Meridian Conference was held in Washington, D.C. to determine the prime meridian of the world. The conference established the Greenwich Meridian and International Standardized Time, which are both still recognized today. After Garfield's death, Arthur insisted the White House be redecorated and had 24 wagon loads of furniture hauled off and sold at public auction. The pieces included dated back to John Adams' term and would be considered priceless today. In 1885, we start the administration of Grover Cleveland. Cleveland was the only U.S. president to be elected to two non-consecutive terms. His real first name was Stephen, but he changed it to Grover as an adult. The Baby Ruth candy bar was named after his daughter Ruth and not Babe Ruth, as some have speculated. Cleveland is the only president in history to hold a job of being a hangman. He was once a sheriff of Erie County, New York, and twice had to spring the trap at a hanging. Next comes Benjamin Harrison. He was the grandson of President William Henry Harrison, the ninth president of the United States. Benjamin was just 7 years old when his grandfather was elected. Benjamin defeated the incumbent Grover Cleveland in the election of 1888. However, in his bid for re-election in 92, Harrison was defeated by Cleveland, making it the only time an incumbent president was defeated by a former president. Then we have Grover Cleveland again. Cleveland's second term, he repealed the Sherman Silver Purchase Act and returned the U.S. currency to a gold standard. William McKinley, McKinley's inauguration was the first presidential inauguration to be filmed. McKinley was the first president to ride in a self-propelled vehicle. It was the electric ambulance that took him to the hospital after he had been shot inside the Temple of Music on the grounds of the Pan American Exposé in Buffalo, New York. McKinley died 8 days later, and his assassin, a guy by the name of Leon Zaglov, was executed for the crime. Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy bears were so named because Theodore Roosevelt refused to shoot a small bear cub while hunting. The incident was reported in the news, which inspired a toy manufacturer to come out with the stuffed teddy bear named in his honor. Contrary to popular belief, Teddy Roosevelt, and not John Kennedy, was the youngest U.S. president. He was 42 years old when he became chief executive following the assassination of McKinley. However, in fairness to popular belief, Kennedy was in fact the youngest elected president, capturing the office at 43. Howard Taft, he was a big old boy, the largest president. Taft came in at a hefty 325 pounds and was dubbed as Big Bill and often got stuck in the White House bathtub with his own staff having to extricate him. He is also the only former president to serve on the Supreme Court, though he's best remembered for his one-term stint. Taft became Chief Justice in 1921, once famously declaring, "I don't remember that I ever was president." Woodrow Wilson was the first president to show a movie in the White House, Birth of a Nation, which has become the most banned film in American history. What makes Birth so offensive is its depiction of black characters performed by white actors in blackface. He was also an avid golfer. Wilson was known to paint his golf balls black during the winter months so he could continue to play in the snow. The 1912 election wasn't a popular landslide. Wilson won easily in the Electoral College against the divided Taft and Roosevelt factions, but his 42% popular vote total was the third lowest winning tally in history. Roosevelt ran against the very popular Taft under the Bull Moose banner. Some progressive Republicans who were not happy with Taft's nomination encouraged Roosevelt to run. It is also widely known that Taft did not favor a central bank, whereas Wilson would have been compelled to accept the idea. Roosevelt sifted votes off of Taft. Wilson won, and in 1913, we get the Federal Reserve Act passing the way for the centralized U.S. bank we commonly know as today's Federal Reserve. Wilson is also the only U.S. president buried in Washington, D.C. The 28th president is buried in a sarcophagus at the Washington National Cathedral. Howard Taft and John Kennedy in Arlington, Virginia. Warren Harding. Genetic analysis has proved that Warren G. Harding fathered a child out of wedlock with a long-rumored mistress by the name of Nan Britton. Britton set off quite the scandal when she went public with the tale of the tryst in the White House, boldly publishing her story in a 1927 best-selling memoir, The President's Daughter. Harding also had the biggest feet of any president. He wore size 19 shoes. Calvin Coolidge was the only president to be sworn in by his own father. On the night of August 2, 1923, Warren Harding had died in San Francisco. Coolidge was staying at his father's home in Vermont when the news of Harding's death reached the East Coast. Coolidge was awakened by his father, and after being told the news, the elder Coolidge, who happened to be a notary public, administered the oath of office to his son by the light of a kerosene lamp. He was also a real prankster. On occasion, he would press all the buttons on the president's desk and hide behind his door until his staff ran into the Oval Office and then jump out behind the door. He was considered by many to be hyper-shy and perhaps standoffish, even somewhat eccentric. Calvin Coolidge enjoyed riding a mechanical horse as much as he could while acting like he was a cowboy and often walked around with a raccoon perched behind his neck. But he was also quite witty. His wit was described as sharp and cold as frost etching on a window pane. At a dinner party, a woman sitting next to him tried to make a wager with the president, telling Coolidge that she bet she could get more than two words out of him. Coolidge famously responded, "You lose." And as the story goes, in one of the more humorous stories of presidential administrations, President Coolidge and his wife Grace both visited a government farm on separate tours. During her tour, the first lady went to the chicken yard and showed some interest in a prize rooster. The farm hand told her the rooster could mate several times a day. Mrs. Coolidge said, "Tell that to the president when he comes by." When the president arrived for his tour, the farmhand told him what the first lady had said. Coolidge asked, "Same hen every time?" The farmhand responded, "Oh no, Mr. President, a different hen every time." To which President Coolidge responded, "Tell that to Mrs. Coolidge." Next is Herbert Hoover. He was actually a member of Stanford University inaugural class in 1891. Hoover enrolled in the new university while he failed Stanford's entrance exam. The professor who administered the test admired his remarkable keenness and entered him unconditionally. Before Hoover became president, he also appeared in the first television broadcast in American history while serving as Secretary of Commerce under Calvin Coolidge. Hoover's voice and image were transmitted live over the telephone wires in the first American demonstration of television in April of 1927. Franklin Roosevelt. Roosevelt's, only child with maternal roots dating back to the Mayflower. Roosevelt attended Harvard, where he began courting another Roosevelt, that'd be Anna Eleanor, his fifth cousin, once removed. When the couple married in 1905, Theodore Roosevelt took a break from his White House duties to give Eleanor away in lieu of her deceased father. Theodore was reported as saying to the young FDR at the wedding, "Well, Franklin, there's nothing like keeping the name in the family." Though Theodore was his closest relative to the head country, FDR claims to have traced his family tree to 10 other presidents as well. Harry Truman. He jumps on the scene in 1945. The letter S in Truman's full name does not stand for anything. As such, it is grammatically correct to spell his full name without a period after it. Because the Ku Klux Klan was a powerful political force at this time, Truman was encouraged to join the organization, although to some accounts he was not inducted but never acted. He also, the accounts claimed that he gave the KKK a $10 membership fee but demanded it back, and he was never initiated. That brings us up to Dwight David Eisenhower. His birth name is actually David Dwight Eisenhower. His parents originally gave him the same name as his father. However, the future president's mother, Ida, soon realized and had second thoughts. She didn't want her boy mistakenly called David Eisenhower Jr. or deal with the confusion of having two Davids in the house, so she transposed his name to Dwight David Eisenhower. The original birth name, however, remained inked in the family Bible and was actually printed in his high school yearbook. Eisenhower detested squirrels, at least around the White House. Why? In the spring of 1954, the American Public Golf Association installed an outdoor putting green just steps away from the Oval Office. To the dismay of Eisenhower, who, like Wilson, was an avid golfer, squirrels were continually digging up in the putting green to bury their acorns and walnuts. Eisenhower was reported to have said to Secret Service agent John Mahoney, "Next time you see one of those little squirrels going on my putting green, take a gun and shoot it." The Secret Service, however, wisely decided against bringing superior force to bear, and instead, the groundskeepers trapped the squirrels and released them into a nearby park. John Kennedy, in his time in office, both as congressman and later president, donated his entire salary to various charities. Kennedy received the last rites at least three times, and possibly four, before serving as president. Kennedy suffered poor health his entire life, and fearing imminent death, the first Catholic president of America received the sacramental last rites of the church on three occasions. Once during a trip to England in 1947, during the trip he fell ill and was given periodic checkups, but then again only a year to live. This was after he was diagnosed with Addison's disease, a rare disorder of the adrenal glands. He received last rites again in 1951 after suffering from an extremely high fever while traveling in Asia, and a final time in 1954 after he slipped into a coma from an infection after surgery to address his chronic back problems. Again, some Kennedy biographers claimed the number of last rites could be four or five times, including when he was 2 years old and contracted scarlet fever, and another during the World War II when he served on PT-109. Although Kennedy was in fact ill two other times, it's not known if last rites were administered. Lyndon B. Johnson affectionately called the many women that he cavorted with his harem. He even had a buzzer system installed that rang inside the Oval Office so Secret Service could warn him when Lady Bird was coming. Richard Nixon, Lee Harvey Oswald may actually have been planning to assassinate Nixon instead of JFK. In the early morning of September 22, 1963, Richard Nixon rode through Dallas to Love Field to try to fly home after attending a Pepsi-Cola board meeting. Nixon saw the preparations for the motorcade that hours later would carry John Kennedy, the man who defeated him for the presidency 3 years prior. After Nixon landed in New York, he learned that Kennedy had been assassinated. But here's where the story takes an odd twist. The wife of Lee Harvey Oswald, Marina, testified to the Warren Commission that Oswald had read a local news report, tucked a pistol in his belt, and told her, "Nixon is coming. I want to go and have a look." After locking him up in a bathroom, Marina convinced him to turn over his gun. The account was very puzzling since Nixon was not in Dallas of April 1863. Is it possible Oswald had no idea Kennedy would be in town the same day? And any politician of note would do, and Nixon was originally his target of convenience? History will never know. Gerald Ford is the only person to serve as both vice president and president without being elected to either office. The first person appointed to the vice presidency under the terms of the 25th Amendment following the resignation of VP Spiro Agnew. He became president upon Nixon's departure on August 9, 1974. Jimmy Carter was the first president to be born in a hospital. He is also the only known president to go on record as claiming he saw a UFO. Carter was the first Southerner elected to the presidency following the Civil War, and during his administration pardoned and restored the citizenship of Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederate States. Ronald Reagan won the most nearly perfect male figure award from the University of California in 1940. Reagan is the only U.S. president to be elected after having been divorced, his first wife being actress Jane Wyman, who he married in 1940 and divorced in 1949, and is best remembered as Angela Channing in the 1980s primetime soap Falcon Crest. Because of his patriotism, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover took a friendly interest in Reagan's political career. Shortly before Reagan announced his candidacy for the California governorship, the FBI discovered his adopted son, Michael, had unknowingly become close friends with the son of a mafia boss, Joe Bananas Bonanno. Hoover's agents tipped off Reagan so he could warn Michael to break off the association before it became an embarrassment and possible political baggage. George Bush I is the first president to father a future president since John Adams. After the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, he enlisted in the Navy, even though he had already been accepted at Yale. Despite his father's disapproval, he signed up for the Navy flight training program on his 18th birthday. When he received his pilot's wings, he was the Navy's youngest pilot. Bush also was the first sitting vice president to be elected president since Martin Van Buren in 1936. After Ronald Reagan was shot by would-be assassin John Hinckley, aides wanted Bush to chop her back to the White House, but he refused, saying only the president lands on the south lawn of the White House. William Jefferson Clinton was named after his biological father, William Jefferson Blythe Jr., a traveling salesman who died 3 months before Bill's birth. Clinton didn't assume his stepfather's surname until he turned 15. During his senior year in high school, he went to Washington, D.C. as a delegate in an American Legion civics program called Boys Nation. While on that trip, he met President John F. Kennedy. Although never an official Freemason, during his youth, Clinton was a member of the Order of De Molay, a group affiliated with Freemasonry. There's even a Bill Clinton Boulevard outside the U.S. It's located in Pristina, Kosovo. The boulevard is named after Clinton for his help in the Kosovo War. A 10-foot-tall statue of Clinton was added to the boulevard in 2009. George W. Bush was only the second president whose father also held office. Bush was once arrested for leading a crowd of Yale students, in a post-match celebration which involved scaling the goalposts and tearing them down following a Yale-Princeton football game in 1967. Interestingly, however, Bush was also arrested at university a second time, less than 6 months previously, while drunkenly stumbling through the streets of New Haven in December. As the story goes, Bush and his friends noticed a huge Christmas wreath on the front door of a shop. The Munch tried to make off with the wreath, only for police officers to drive by at that exact moment and catch them in the act. Bush would later admit to law enforcement that he might have had a few beers. He's also the only president with an MBA. Barack Obama, obviously enough, the very first American president in U.S. history, although his birth mother is actually Caucasian. His presidency generated more conspiracy theories than any other president. Questions about his birthplace and qualification to hold office plagued much of his presidency. Other more bizarre allegations surfaced, though none were ever proven. It is not known the cause of these suspicions were based on his race or were more a matter of his time in history, considering the ubiquitous use and popularity of social media. As a teenager, he experimented with drugs, including marijuana and cocaine. Obama applied to appear in a pinup calendar while he was studying at Harvard, but was rejected by the all-female committee. Barack Obama owns a pair of boxing gloves once worn by Muhammad Ali. Which brings us finally to Donald Trump. Trump, the election of the 45th president of the United States, the first non-presidential, non-politician president in history, caught many off guard. Although Trump lost the popular vote, he won with an electoral landslide. Trump has never smoked cigarettes, consumed alcohol, or drugs. His older brother, Fred, was an alcoholic for many years and warned Trump to avoid drinking. Fred ultimately died from his addiction. Trump's now former residence, Trump Tower, was used as the fictional Wayne Enterprises in the Batman sequel, The Dark Knight Rises. Trump has actually run for president once before. He won the California presidential primary for the Reform Party in the year 2000. And of course, the early days of his presidency, and some might argue to this day, were marred by protests and accusations of bigotry, misogyny, and other aggressive policies. This is from an excerpt on the book Unknown America from the chapter on presidents, the unknown presidents. You can find out more by going over to theunknownamerica.com. Multiple little insights on the founders, obviously the presidents. Before Americana is chapter number 2, and just so many little things that you'll learn along the way about this great nation. And also keep an eye open for the Mythbuster alerts. That's right. We take a good portion of the book and we actually smash some of the most enduring myths in the history of the United States. So if you'd like to learn more or pick up a copy of the book, you could do so by going over to theunknownamerica.com. This program is brought to you by the Unknown America Project, which is in part with the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Heart of America with me, your host, is live every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen in Birmingham, Alabama on numerous different signals, and you can also find us on heartofamerica.net. That's H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net, on the TuneIn Radio app on all of your devices, or just simply tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, play the WYDE stream. So check out heartofamerica.net for all the information and theunknownamerica.com to learn more about the unknown America, myths and little known oddities about the greatest nation on earth.
The the belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama,
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty